Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the years, I've had a tradition that I do most years, but not all years, is that I usually, every summer, buy the same pair of shoes. I buy a shoe that's called Adidas Sombras. I love Adidas. I'm a soccer player. I played for 7 years. I love the feel on my feet. I'm a pigeon toe runner, which means my toe runs inward, which makes me a faster runner than a flat-footed person. It makes me faster than most with that deformity. But I've learned that these shoes are the most comfortable shoes on my feet. If today was not Sunday, I almost wore a pair to show you that I love them so much. But my mom would roll over at me and roll her eyes. So I realized that when I buy these pair, that I have to get rid of a pair. In my family, we always have the tradition, if you get something new, you have to get rid of something old to replace it. Because my old pair of Sambas normally becomes my outdoor shoes, or they become my camping shoes. So that's what I love to wear in my free time, is Adidas Sambas. But this is not the only area of life that I do this in. Chris and I, since we've been a couple, have done that in other areas as well. For instance, if we get a pair of pants, right? We have to get rid of an old pair of pants, whether give it to Goodwill or some organization, or if there's too many holes in it, because they don't make jeans like they used to, you have to throw it away. That's how we get rid of it. That same goes with shirts, coffee makers, because Krista loves her coffee, toys that my girls love to play with, or other miscellaneous things as well. We only have so much room, and I don't like a house of clutter. Sometimes getting something new comes with pain and heartache of getting rid of that old thing because of the memories that are attached to that particular item. So in today's epistle reading, Paul continues on. He continues on with his writing to the church of Ephesus. Paul is saying that we can't have it both ways. We can't live as a pagan and at the same time live a life of that of a Christian. These two things are not compatible. These two things are like water and oil. Have you ever tried to mix those two together? Have you ever made dressing with water and oil? You have to shake it and shake it, and after some time, it keeps it separated from another. When we Christians know Christ as our Savior, we think differently. What we want is different. What we desire is not whatever we want, but what God desires. We change. As a result, the old way of living has to go out to make room for this new life that is found in Christ. This is a critical transformation that we are going to explore today by this theme, out with the old, in with the new. Today we're going to end chapter 4 with these words. As we begin, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit in us as well. Amen. Out with the old. Paul begins today's writing with these words. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. The apostle in today's reading does not want these Christians in Ephesus to return back to their pagan ways. And he says to them about what their pagan ways would cause if they resorted back to these ways. And he says it would cause three different things. First, he tells them that this life would be a life of futility or fatality of mind. This idea, in other words, is saying that their walk as that as a pagan would that be one of frivolousness, aimlessness, and unsettled passions. They would still struggle with these passions inside of them. Secondly, he said if they resorted back to their pagan way of life, it would be darkened in their understanding. Not only is their pagan life would be one of aimlessness, but it would be the one that blinds individuals, blinds them from those most vital things, especially being ignorant of God and the way of salvation that was found in Christ. And third, he says these words in today's reading. He would cause them being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. Through worldly living, these people's hearts would become hard, callous, and even insensible to spiritual things. As a result, they perceive not beauty in the divine, they would no preciousness in the divine promises, and no excellence in the divine image. This result of life would be empty, careless, and foolish. They would become alienated from the true life that is found in God, couldn't bear vital religion, and hate the very idea of anything spiritual. As a result, resorting back to these pagan way of life, we go back to that temple of Artemis ideas. They would result in going after the things of this world. The apostle said, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice in every kind of impurity. In other words, he's saying to these people in Ephesus that they would be without shame, without conscience, without fear of God, without any perceptionness of dignity, of human nature, before the divine, and the degradation of sin. The pagan life for him, Paul, is one that is filled with giving into the desires and the lusts of this world. So what does this all mean? That's a lot of words. That's a lot of jargon. What does this mean for you and I who live in the 21st century? What is Paul saying to us? We are tempted to give into the things of the world around us. The devil is still prying around us. There are many times in our Christian life that there are things that the devil wants us to slip back into. He wants us to slip back into those habits that are ungodly. He wants us to slip back into the practices of this fallen and broken world. We have the desire at times to go after the vices of this world, whether it's the vices of money, drugs, sex, food, possessions, relationships, pornography, crime, power, and other worldly desires. We know that these things don't bring us true happiness, but we still pursue after the things of this world. We still think to ourselves, maybe sometime they might bring me happiness. They might bring me hope. They might bring me a feeling of fulfillment to this void that is in my heart. And we go into them. We give into these things. And we think they will satisfy. For this devil feeds us lies about these vices by making us believe that the worst thing that these vices of this world can do maybe cause us a little guilt and a little uncomfortable. However, this father of lies isn't telling you the truth. He's not telling you the truth. That's why he's called the father of lies. He is not telling you the truth at all. He doesn't tell us that these vices that we fill our lives with pollute our conscience. They also harden our hearts. Even worse, they bring about a life of slavery, a life of bondage. And also, if we continue after these vices, they can lead to eternal death and condemnation. Therefore, Paul's words for us today admonish us too. The apostle tells us who are gathered here at Grace Lutheran Church, and now those who are online, they are hearing these words of Paul that say, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." In other words, Paul is saying, stop, repent, turn away from the vices of this world. For they never can bring true and everlasting happiness. They lead to one destruction. Out with the old way of living. Out with those pagan lifestyles. Out with chasing after the more and bigger sins that appease your sinful nature. And back to God. Back to God who makes all things new. Who alone brings true and everlasting satisfaction to the craving heart, to the one who fills that void that is in each one of us. Our God does not leave us in this old state. He doesn't leave us in this old state, no. Instead, he brings in the new. God works something new in those individuals in Ephesus and also in your lives as well. What does the Lord do for you? He does what Paul says in today's reading. But that is not the way you learn in Christ, assuming that you have learned about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. First, we are taught about Christ. We are taught the same message every week. We are taught the same message every week. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, born of the woman, born of the law, to redeem those under the law. In other words, we are taught every week the same message with different packaging, that Jesus has paid the price for all your sins. Your sins are now paid in full. You are now forgiven of all your sins, including those times when you have fallen back into your old sinful habits, into your own sinful ways, and have pursued after the things of this world. He has paid for you through his holy and righteous life, his holy and righteous death on that cross, and his holy and righteous resurrection 3 days later. Paul tells us Jesus does all these things. so that we might receive adoption as sons. Church, we hear that every week. It is important to hear it every week, because if nowhere else are you going to hear that you are forgiven, that you are righteous and holy before God. Which leads us to our second thing. Second, Jesus now shares his gifts. He shares his gifts of righteousness, which means right with God, and holiness, set apart by God. Jesus bestows them upon you, like we heard last week, and in today's reading alludes to. We were given to us these gifts when we were baptized, and he preserves us, his baptized. And he is the one who puts off that old self, which belongs to our former way of life, and is corrupt with the deceitfulness of desires, by renewing in us, week in, week out, continuously, in the spirit of our minds, and puts on the new self, created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. This vicious cycle, putting off the old self and putting on the new self, continues throughout this life of pilgrimage. It's not going to be an easy pilgrimage, by no means. You and I are going to struggle. We're going to struggle at putting both saint and sinner throughout our lives. Our lives are going to be a constant roller coaster, yes, but it will not last forever. It will not last forever, for we die. We will merge victorious. This new man that lies inside of you and me will emerge victorious before God forever. This tension of our baptismal life will come to a completion when we are called home to be with Christ forever, who gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, as a sacrifice before God. Therefore, come, Lord, come quickly. Take us from this new old world to the new world that is coming.